Everybody looked like they're in good shape. So you have the book. I love the book because it's an easy read. If you given an hour, you could read through this whole book, all six chapters, all the introduction. It's an easy read. It's easy to understand, which is what I love. You know what I mean? Tom Rainer does an excellent job at putting together these little short handbooks on Christian development and spiritual maturity. And so a real treasure for Reverend Scott to lay his hands on this. And I wanted to start the year out talking about this because there's oftentimes a lot of confusion about church membership. You know, people, various paths, different ways and angles come at it. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity to use this book kind of as a guidepost so that we can all begin to have a common understanding about church membership, what it means to us, and what it means to the church, and ultimately what it means to Christ. And so tonight we're starting out is chapter one. I'm a functioning member is what it talks about. So it's I'm a member, but I'm functioning, I'm active, I'm participating, I'm contributing. So the first thing you note on the handout is I put up there that the first bold heading says there is a difference between church membership and membership in the body of Christ. Okay? You guys with me on that? There's more. If you need one, just raise your hand. Cass will bring what we have left to that. Okay. So again, I want to start by distinguishing. Just so you know, I'm gonna go off script. Chapter one, you can read it. Very self-explanatory. I'm just going to piggyback on one or two of his principles, but I'm going to use it as a platform to say some other things. So what I'm talking about here, the difference between membership, is not in the book. That's why I gave you the handouts, okay? But so with that being said, let's jump back into it. So there is a difference between membership in a church and membership in the body of Christ. Membership in a church, the church is an interesting entity in that it has two shapes or two forms. There is an institutional or organizational side to a church, as well as a spiritual side or spiritual dynamic to a church. Institutional in that, like other organizations, it has a tax ID. Institutional in that many churches are 501c3s. They have a designation from the IRS. They pay payroll taxes to the extent they have in place. So that's an organizational or an institutional side to a church. You follow what I'm saying? And there's also a spiritual side or spiritual dynamic to the church, which we come together, the ecclesia, the called out one, the koinonia, and that is the spiritual side, and that's what we often refer to as being a part of the body of Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying? The body of Christ is not an institution. It's not an organization. But it is a spiritual organism to which we belong to by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying? And there is a difference. Oftentimes, people commingle the two. Do you follow what I'm saying? And it leads to a lot of confusion sometimes in the church. Are you with me? So the first thing is, the first bullet I have there, you can be a member of a church and not be saved. Are you with me on that? A lot of people confuse that. A lot of people assume since I'm a member of the church, I'm going to heaven. No, you are not. Okay? We've got to understand that. You've got, because these are the questions our friends and families are going to ask of us. So we got to be clear to be able to delineate and say, you can be a member of a church, but that does not mean you are a member of the body of Christ. You can be a member of the church. It does not mean you're saved. You can be a member of the church. It does not mean you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It simply means you're a member of that church or that organization or institution. Just like you're a member of the Y or the Boys Club, or you know what I mean? Your name is on the roll and you got a number or something somewhere. You follow what I'm saying? So that's the first thing we have to know, and we have to be clear about that, especially, again, in our conversations and in our witnessing with folks. We want to be sure to clear up that misunderstanding right off the bat, because it's very common and very prevalent. So to be, and I just lay down here, to be a member of a church, using our church as an example, but all churches, whatever, they have some type of similar format to what we have here, to be a member of a church organizationally or institutionally. It means you went through some type of orientation process. We call ours the new members class. Some call it five steps. Some call it, you go to church, they got all types of names for it. But it's some type of orientation or classroom training you take to become familiar with that organization. You follow what I'm saying? Every church has it. No church just lets you come in and do what you want. No, you got to come through some kind of process where you learn our history, our beliefs, what we're committed to, what we're about. You follow what I'm saying? So if you say you're a member, you're saying, I'm a member to this. This is what I know. And like I said, for us, we call it the new members class. And out of that, you go from there to the right hand of fellowship. After that, in your subsequent layer, you go through the three standardized classes we have: 201, 301, 401, gifts of the Spirit, evangelism. I can't remember what 201 is. What is 201? Huh? How to study your Bible. Yeah, just all classes trying to get you indoctrinated and to understand what it means to become a member. So you have that. To be a member of a church requires some type of consistent attendance. Amen. Got very quiet. You don't come to church, you're not a member. You follow what I'm saying? Regardless of what the church calls it, you're inactive or off or whatever, if you're not coming, you're not a member. You follow what I'm saying? Because that's one of the things you're going to learn about in that church's orientation process, is that one of the things you're committing to is coming and being a part of and contributing to. Do you follow what I'm saying? Again, talking about the organization, new members process, consistent attendance, also many times includes active participation. So it's not only attending, but now they also want you to get involved in some kind of way in the life of that organization. They want you to serve. They want you to participate. They want you to do something more than just what you're doing now is coming and sitting down. They allow that for a time. They allow that for a season. But after a while, every church wants you to begin to get involved. Do something. Participate here. Get in this. You know what I mean? All of this, they spell out in what? The new members process. This orientation. This is what our church does. This is what we believe. We want you to come and but eventually want you to start participating in. Do you follow what I'm saying? Amen. And then lastly, to be a member of a church, they want you to support it. If you believe in what we're doing and where we're going and what we're about, we want you to support the church financially, whether that's under the tithing method or some other method, whatever. But ultimately, they want you to give. They want you to attend. They want you to participate, and they want you to give. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? To be a part of the organization or the institution. If you do those four things in any church that you're affiliated with, I guarantee the pastor will know your name. Amen. I guarantee it. And I don't need Shanita to tell a joke about it to get you to understand. I'm still waiting for that tithe to come in, but... You get on that island, that's the only way I'm going to come. But if you do this, look at this. If you complete the process, most new members' process ends with a meeting with the pastor, an opportunity for that new member to meet the pastor to meet them, talk, share, learn a little bit more about each other. If you're showing up weekly at the services, at the event, pastor's going to know your name. If you're involved and active and they see you serving, and now you go from someone the pastor knows to now someone the pastor can depend on because you're serving. The pastor knows your name. If you're supporting the vision and the ministry with your finances and you're giving consistently as you tend, guess what? That pastor's going to know your name. You can be in a church with 10,000 or you can be in a church with 10. Pastor's going to know your name. Because as connected to the institution or the organization, this is what they have laid out and says to be a member, this is what we look for. This is what requires. So to the extent you participate, you become a member of that institution or church. Now, notice none of that talks about salvation. So now, to be a member of the body of Christ, now we're talking about the spiritual side, the spiritual organism, not the human or natural organization, but the spiritual organism for which Christ died for. It all starts with to be a member of the body of Christ, you got to first what? You got to first accept Christ as your Savior. So again, you can be a member of the church and never once accept Christ as your Savior. But you attend every week. You participate. You give. You support. And all those stuffs are great. And listen, the pastor will know your name. You follow what I'm saying? But you won't be a member of the body of Christ unless you confess your sins and accept Christ as your personal Savior. You are not a part of the body of Christ. And everybody look at me. And if you don't do that, here it is. Jesus Christ doesn't know your name. Your pastor may know who you are and where you live and send you a Christmas card every year, but Christ will not know your name. You follow what I'm saying? We got to be clear on this. Because there are people in our families, our neighborhoods, who've got this stuff confused, and they got it mixed and mingled, and they think if I do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, they have been bewitched to believing they're going to heaven, and they're not. So those that have the truth got to speak it. You got to confess your sins. Romans 10:9-10, John 3:16, you know that. Then after that, you've got to receive water baptism. What's the Great Commission? Who has it? Matthew 10:28, right? Isn't that the Great Commission? And how's it? We got to go out, do whatever, and then what? Baptize them. Do you follow what I'm saying? And if you're not baptized, I'm telling you, Christ won't know your name. Right? 11. All authority give. Therefore, go make disciples, all nations, baptizing them the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy. This is Jesus' direct command. He said, if you want to be a part of my body, this spiritual organism for which I have given my life, you have to first believe in my name by faith, and then you must evidence that by water baptism. He said, if you don't, you're not a part of the body. He said, if you don't, I don't recognize your name. Do you follow what I'm saying? So as a believer, you must be water baptized. You must stand up publicly and say, I confess Jesus Christ. We've got to understand we're under a different dynamic in the New Testament church. To be water baptized and to make a public statement for Christ, put your name on the martyrs list. For us, it's cool. You get a certificate. You get a gown. You get some other stuff. But for the New Testament church, for them to be water baptized, they signed up to be murdered. That's what they were doing in Rome. They were gathering up the Christians, and they were taking them to the Colosseum to be executed, to be slaughtered. Why? Because the Roman emperors believed they were God. To worship anyone else was an affront to them. The Christians just came right out. They said, no, you're not our God. We don't serve you. We don't believe in you. Christ is our God. They said, fine, gather them up. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about becoming a member of the body of Christ. Confess your sins. Water baptism. And then thirdly, you've got to become a member of a local church. If anything has caused more confusion, it's this. It's people believe they can give their life to Christ and stay disconnected from his body. Well, what did you join it for then? Oh, I can believe at home. Oh, I can study at home. I can. Yes, you can, but you're disconnected from the body. Is my finger still a finger if I cut it off? Yes, but if I cut it off and it becomes disconnected from the body, it will soon die. It doesn't receive anything from the rest of the body, nor does it contribute what it has back to the body, and in time, it what? Dies. You have to be connected to a local body. You have to be plugged in to a local church. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because if not, you stay separated, you're going to fall off. You're going to die. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Because people believe this. You think I'm making this stuff up? People believe, oh, I can live through watching the preacher on TBN. You're going somewhere, but it won't be to heaven. Because soon as that hour goes off, now what? Now you're going to watch your real God. And that ain't on TBN. That's TBS and TNT and USA. That becomes your real God because you watch more of that. Do you follow what I'm saying? So don't let them off the hook. Oh no, I tune in on the, I watch him on Mondays. I watch him on Sunday and I tune in and that, no you're not. That's not enough. You gotta get connected to the body so that you can attend, participate, give, sow back into, and also receive from. Amen. Do you follow what I'm saying? Something happens in the house of God when the people of God come together. Amen. You can't explain it. You can't describe it. You can't put it in a bottle. You can't box it. You can't sell it. But when the book said where two or three of my believing children are just gathered in my name. Look what the book said. He said, I'm in the midst to bless. Amen. You know what that means? He's literally present to do whatever is required. You don't get that sitting at home. You don't get that streaming in. You got to get connected to the body, be a part of the fellowship, because when you are, something dynamic happens inside of you. Amen. You come in sick, you go out well. You come in depressed, you go out with joy. You come in feeling lonely and isolated, you go out feeling family affection. You don't get that at home. Amen. You don't get that streaming in. You don't get that listening over the radio. You only get that when you go. That's what now the Bible makes sense. Now I understand why David said, I was glad. Because I don't get that anywhere else in my kingdom. In my palace is more of an isolation box than you would ever know. But when I can go into the house of the Lord, and hear the songs of Zion, and hear the prayer of the saints. My soul is lifted, my mind is captivated, and my spirit is stirred. And it only happened because I went to the Lord's house. That's what you got to do. You got to confess. You got to have water baptism, and then you got to plug in and get connected to a local church. If you're disconnected, you'll soon die. So you have that. You become a member of a local church. And then lastly, you must submit and grow under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Somebody grab Acts 2:36. You have your Bible. Flip there real quick. You guys have that? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The Christ, the Christo, the Messiah. That makes sense. That is important to the Israelite people because all of their life they had been taught that the Messiah was coming. When they call him Christ, they are declaring that he is the Messiah. But before that, they say, he is Lord and Christ. Lord, governor, ruler, authority over my life. God has made Jesus Christ Lord and Christ. Lord, he's the authority. He's the one with the power. He's the one with the rule. He's the one with the ability to govern and affect my life. Do you follow what I'm saying? So you not only got to be a member, but this is where the church goes downhill. Not only you got to be a member of the body of Christ, you have to submit to his lordship. Listen, it's not enough if he's your Savior. He has to be both your Savior and... Because you can save me from drowning today, and I can thank you and go on about my business. But if you save me and as a result become Lord over me, guess what? I'm bound to you. Why? Because of what you've done. You're Lord over me now. Very, very common custom in there. Near East ancient history is that someone were to save your life, you owe them your life. You followed them. You worked for them. Why? Because they had saved your life, and as an attempt to repay, you allowed them to become Lord over your life. Do you follow what I'm saying? Look at this. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our what? He's got to become Lord. If he's not Lord, you're not staying connected to the body. 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. Let's look at that one. One of these I wanted maybe. First Corinthians 8, 6. For us, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. We live through him because he's Lord over us. Do you know what that means? He directs our living. We're not lone rangers. We're not out here doing our own thing. We're doing what our Lord has called us to do. Do you follow what I'm saying? Hardest part of spiritual development and Christian maturity is submitting to lordship. Because we can get saved. We can experience water baptism. But it really takes a work of the Holy Spirit to bring your life under lordship to him. Amen. Because even with all those other things and now being connected to the body, there's still a part of us, our carnal nature, that still wants to do what we want to do. And all of Paul's letters, you hear him write in his opening, his introduction and his prologue. He often says stuff, I am a slave of God. I am a bond servant of God. He wasn't just trying to think of something to say. He was literally telling you how his relationship with Christ was. He said, I'm a slave to God. He saved my life from sin. And now I owe him everything. I don't have a choice in anything. Why? Because he's my Lord. Not only he's my Savior, but now I've submitted my life to his lordship. I don't read his word because I want to know what the Bible says. I read his word because I want to know what my Lord wants me to do. I want to know what the Lord has for me. I want to know what the Lord has in store for me. And the only way I'm going to do it is read what my Lord wrote to me. And then I told you last Sunday, after you read it, then you got to what? You got to obey it. You got to go beyond being just a hearer only. But to become doer. The only way you become a doer if you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. If he never becomes Christ and Lord. If he just stays Christ, Messiah, Savior, and you never submit to his lordship, you won't last. You won't make it. You'll want to replace him. Instead of you getting on the cross, you'll say, Christ, you stay on the cross. Let me sit on the throne. Everybody loves Jesus when he's on the cross. Oh, my God, we have revival. As long as he stays on the cross, it's great. But the Bible says he now sits at the right hand of the... He's Lord. We love him here. We'll have revival as long as he stays there. Nobody ever wants to put him on the throne. Watch this. Not of heaven, but the throne of your heart. That's where he wants to rule. That's where he wants to have dominion. And in order to have it, you got to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You with me on that? So those are just some of the differences. Hopefully you've gotten that. Now the next point I want to talk about, church membership can lead to membership in the body of Christ. This is why, just so you know my own personal perspective and philosophy, I don't have a problem with sinners joining our church. I don't have any problems with it. They can come in any kind of way. You want to go through the process. I don't have no problem. Sinners can join. Because what they're joining is the organization, the institution. And if they go through the new members process and all that type of stuff, they can be a part of that. But now look at why I do that. Look at what I wrote down. They can be won over the Christ through the new membership class. I tell Reverend Scott that all the time. That first chapter, that first, second chapter, somewhere there is a direct, have you given your life to Christ? And anytime you ask a man a direct question, they got to give you a direct answer. And if they say no, or I don't know, or I'm not sure, look at the Holy Spirit. The door is wide open now. What does it mean? This is what it means. How do I accept them? This is how you accept them. This is what you have to believe. This is what you have to say. Do you follow what I'm saying? Some churches actually require you to be converted before you join. Like if you're not saved, they won't allow you to join. Some churches do that. I don't know why, but whatever. I want you to join because through the new members process, a person can get converted. I always tell folks when I do... my counseling, especially marital counseling, that I counsel people, one, outside of my church, and I counsel non-believers, especially for premarital counseling. Well, why is it? Some people say, I didn't get mad at my pastor wouldn't, because we were unequally yoked, and pastor wouldn't because I was a member, but they were, oh, this is whatever. But you know what, when I tell folks come from premarital counseling, this is all I say. If you want to do it, that's fine. I have no problem with it. It's Christian-based biblical counseling. That's what I do. Christian-based biblical counseling, meaning it's going to fall under Christian principles. Biblical base is when you come, you got to bring your Bible because that's the book we're going to be referring to. And as long as you're good with that, come on, let's get down. Let's do six sessions. I'm good. Because guess what's going to happen during through the whole course? We're constantly referring back to the Bible, back to Jesus Christ, back to this, and all of them, oh, I can't. And every time they say, I can't, I keep telling them, that's why you got to accept Christ. I mean, every session, every 15 minutes, oh, I can't. No, good, I know you can't. That's why you got to accept Christ. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Why wouldn't I take advantage of that kind of opportunity? Especially when someone invites me into their life. I'm not calling them for counseling. They're calling me. Come on in. Sit down. Get your Bible out. Every session is loaded with opportunity to lead them to Christ. Loaded. Do you follow what I'm saying? And in like fashion, so it is with being a member. You come, all those sessions, every session you go through in the new member process, loaded with opportunity to lead. You have it? How about you accept him today? There's no better time than now. Well, you're here. I'm here. The Holy Spirit's another witness. We got three touching and agreeing. Do you follow what I'm saying? Through another way it can happen is through exposure to the preaching of the gospel. Because again, if you become a member of a church, you're committing to what? Attend consistently. You follow what I'm saying? And every time you come, what? That word of God is being preached. It's going forth with power, with the anointing. You follow what I'm saying? And little by little, bit by bit, you follow what I'm saying? It's going to find its way in there. You sit long enough, it's going to find its way. And that's the, and if that happens, that can win them into the body of Christ. They've been a member for years, but the word is just now penetrating their heart. Because they're a member, they get exposed. They get exposed to this kind of teaching. They get exposed to the preaching. You follow what I'm saying? They come in the house of the Lord. They get exposed to the songs of worship. They get exposed to prayer. They get exposed to agape love. They would have never gotten that if they weren't a member. Once they sign up and agree to attend and participate, every Sunday, watch this, you get a chance to be nice to them. You get a chance to show them what God's love looks, sounds, and feels like. And imagine every week going having one day out of the week where I get 40, 50 touches or examples of God's love. You can't tell me that won't change someone's heart. People can't resist you being nice to them. They'll turn it down for a while, but niceness will wear out. So you have the preaching. You have the teaching of the Word of God. Just talked about Christian exposure. Every time they come, every time they meet that greeter, they come. They're always upset. They're always there. They had to walk. They had to catch them. Always mad. But the greeter is always smiling, always welcoming, always finding a seat for them. That wears on them in time. Do you follow what I'm saying? And they go from hearing the Word to experiencing the Word through you. Do you follow what I'm saying? It can lead them into the body. Through your friendship, your support, your witness. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is the work we do Monday through Saturday. We leave on Sunday with the word germinating in their heart. But all throughout the week, what? We're in contact with them. We're following up with them. We're praying for them. We're calling, see if they need a ride, see if they're doing okay. You know, after a while, they've got to ask themselves, why are they doing this to me? Little by little, bit by bit. You follow what I'm saying? All working together, some water, some plant, but what? Ultimately what? God gets the increase. So it can lead to their salvation. Through seeing others water baptized and growing spiritually. To me, nothing can convict a heart like watching someone else grow and develop spiritually. Amen. To witness it. And especially if it's someone you know. Because you know all the garbage. You know all the backstories. You know what no one else knows. Then for you to see the change. They can fool me because I see them 2 hours out of the week. I'm easily fooled because half of that time I'm not paying attention anyway. But not you. You live with them. Sometimes you even sleep with them. They're your companion. They're your kids. And you've got a front row seat to what God's doing in their lives. That's why when we get into the single series in February, That's why he said, what a godly wife can do. Now, you don't have to preach. You don't have to say anything. Just live for him.
Amen.
Before you know it, you've won them to Christ. You don't have to invite them to church. Don't got to give them a flyer. Let them see Christ working in you. It'll do more than any preacher could ever preach into them. Just seeing the witness in you. That can happen. They become a member. They get to see that and experience that. Then also they can be drawn in through prayer. And as the Church of God, we must always pray for souls to be saved. Not for our church to be bigger. Not for our buildings to be better. But for souls to be saved.
Amen.
That's what we want to see. That's what we want coming in our door. We want the sinners. We want the rejected, the broken, the hurt, the lame, the maimed. Those have been cast off by society and welcomed into the family of God.
Amen.
And we've got to pray for that. He'll send them if we're ready. He'll send them if we're willing. If God could trust us to treat them with the agape kind of love, he'll send them by the droves.
Amen.
But the question is, can God trust us? When they come, are they going to experience love or are they going to experience hatred? The question is not how many people you've brought to church. Anyone want to know the real question? How many have you run out of the church through your nasty attitude, your hateful spirit, because you're not under the lordship of Christ? You're still sitting on the throne of your heart. And so you operate as a mini lord over them. It's not how many you've won. It's how many you've run out. How many who say they've left because of you. You had an opportunity to say, you know what? If that's the case, forgive me for what I've done. But you're too arrogant. You're too proudful to say, you know what? I'll take the low road. If that's what's keeping you from becoming a member and ultimately becoming a part of the body, forgive me. I'll take down. I'd rather see you connected to the body than there being aught between. The book says this, lay your gift down. Stop prophesying. Stop speaking in tongues. Stop. Lay your gift down. Go get reconciled. Because Christ said, I'm trying to win them into the body of Christ.
Amen.
And I don't need you to be a hindrance. Do you follow what I'm saying? So there is a difference. Church membership can lead to membership in the body of Christ if, in fact, the church is operating and functioning as Christ has designed. All right, go to 1 Corinthians 13. This is something that is actually in chapter 1 that I just want to piggyback on. Dr. Rayner does a great job. And you guys know this stuff. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. All right. So at the end of 11, you got the Lord's Supper. 12 is spiritual gifts, offices in the church. Number 13, chapter 13 is love. 14 is more on spiritual gifts. You with me on that? Verse 15 talks about the resurrection of Christ and resurrected bodies. It's a wealth of information there on that. That's chapter 15. Verse 16, you read verse 1 in chapter 16? That's God talking about the offering, talking about the money. It's in your Bible. And this is what I want you to get out of all of that. When we think 1 Corinthians 13, what do we all think? We think love, and therefore we think what? Marriage. Never. Look, did you just see what I did? 11, communion. 12, spiritual gifts. Church offices. 13, love. 14, more gifts, the higher gifts. 15, the resurrection of Christ and ultimately resurrected bodies. What they look like, how they'll operate in heaven, how they are different from your physical body. All of that's in 15. 16, he's talking about the offering. You get it? But yet chapter 13 is about love. And when we hear love, we immediately grab it and ascribe it or attach it to what? Marriage. You get it yet? He's not talking about marriage. Read it. Tell me if I'm lying. Tell me now. Let's let the record straight now. He's talking about communion. He's talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about a functioning body of Christ. We reach down and take that out and say, oh, this is for marriage. And it can be applied that way, but in context, the way he wrote it, this is not the love you need for a marriage. This is the love you need in the church. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is not for you and your boo. This is for you and the other members of the body of Christ. Look how he wrote it. Keep the text in context. Though I'm a great speaker, if I have not love, it doesn't matter. Though I can prophesy, see things in the future and in the past. If I don't have love, doesn't matter. And though I am generous to a fault, I live destitute so others could be bettered. If it's not motivated and done by love, doesn't matter. Here it is. Now listen, put your church hat on. Do not, well, I'm going to read it, but don't look at it in the context of marriage. Look at it in the context of the body of Christ. Can you do it? Love suffers long. Where? In the body of Christ. You follow what I'm saying? Love is kind in the body of Christ. If there's one place on this earth you should find kindness, it should be where? In the body of Christ. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself in its love. Love does not envy. Love does not envy. You don't come to church to look what other people have and try to scheme how to get it for yourself. That's not it. This is in context, within the context of the church. You don't do that. Do you follow what I'm saying? Love does not parade itself. So one, you don't come to church looking to see what others have, nor do you come to church to show off what you've got. Because what? Love don't parade itself. It is better to come in dressed humbly. Come in dressed modestly. You know one thing about good-looking people? They look good no matter how they dress. You can dress them up to the night, they still look good. You can put them in a bum's gown, and guess what? They still look good. You follow what I'm saying? You don't have to dress it up or tear. If you look good, you look good. If you have the love of Christ, you have the love of Christ. You ain't got to try to dress it up or shape it up or fluff it up. Because what? Real love don't parade itself. Real love doesn't go around and say, look what I did for them. This is in the body of Christ. This is where he's writing this letter. It doesn't parade itself, nor is it puffed up. It doesn't parade itself, nor does it puff itself up to draw attention to itself. You're part of the body of Christ. Hear me and hear me well. There's only one star in the church. There's only one star in the church. When he was born, the star stood up over his manger. It wasn't down at CHOP. It wasn't at a children's hospital. It wasn't over your. It wasn't where you were born. One star. The wise men came to one birthplace. Here's the real star in the church. If we're going to talk about anybody, talk about him. If we're going to parade anyone down Broad Street, let it be about him. Because he died to purchase it with his own blood. Read it in the context of the church. Here, try this one on. In the church, love does not behave rudely. In the church. In the body of Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying? And this stuff will work if you submit to his lordship. Now, I know you can't read it and say, well, today I got, no. The day you got saved, you failed on all points. You failed on that one. You failed on that one. But as long as you stay under his lordship, as long as you stay under his word, as long as you stay connected to his spirit, these things begin to show up in your life. So they may not be there year one, but year five, I'm starting to see some things. 7 and 8, oh my God. Now it's been a dozen years, and look how far you're down the road with Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying? He wrote this for the context of it. Doesn't behave itself rudely. Does not seek its own. He was writing in his book about country club membership. Some people believe that in the church. If every pastor had a dollar for everybody who complained because they didn't get something, pastor, they didn't serve me. Pastor, everybody else got sweet potato. We got pumpkin. Pastor, I didn't get a bag. Why not? You were on the committee. Pastor, I didn't get a bookmark. Pastor, I didn't get the. Pastor, they didn't call my name. Pastor, I didn't get to go. Everyone's got a. Whatever. I'm finished with it. I'm just telling you what the book says. The book says he doesn't seek his own. When you've got real love operating in the church, do you follow what I'm saying? When you're under his lordship. Real love, when it's operating properly in the church, watch this. I wish I had more of this in my church. Is not provoked. And that's important because everyone is somewhere different under the lordship of Christ. And so while God's design is to have the agape love flowing and operating. At all points and at some points, it is not always operating optimally. So there will be church members who are what? Hateful. There will be church members who are what? Nasty. You follow what I'm saying? But God said, I'm going to balance that out by having those that are part of the body to be what? Not easily provoked. You got to understand, there are some people, watch this, there are some people that God sends to the church to be saved, to receive ministry, to be cared for, to be built up, to be edified. Do you follow what I'm saying? God sends them. But there are some people that your adversary sends who comes in a wolf in sheep clothing. And they're not sent from God, they're sent from the pit of hell. And they come in to sow seeds of discord among the brethren. And it would strangle and kill the church if there wasn't enough spiritual maturity in the church to what? To not be easily provoked. To be able to withstand and still love and still treat kindly and be able to put them under the Lord's judgment. No. I'm not going to speak against you. I'm going to let the Lord judge you. Either you are or are not a part of his body. Do you follow what I'm saying? But I'm not going to let you provoke me. I'm not going to let you get me angry and get me upset and get me to be in my old self. I spent too much time fasting and praying to kill that. Why in the hell would I let you resurrect it in me? No, it won't work with me. I prayed too long to get it out of my spirit. to allow you to come in with your such and much attitude and draw me right back into it. Real love said, I'm not easily provoked. No. It's okay. I'm still going to love you. I'm still coming to pick you up next week. It don't change nothing. Why? Because I got the love of God operating. I'm connected to the body. I'm getting more, and I'm not getting less. I'm getting more and more each day from Christ. So now I can endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm not easily dissuaded. I'm not easily turned back. I'm not easily talked out of it. Why? I'm no longer easily provoked. Why? I got the love of God operating in my, look at this from being a part of the, being part of the body. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek his own. Not easily provoked. Thinks. If there's one place there should not be a rumor mill, it should be in the church. You ever hear the rumor mill at work? And it always thinks the worst. Hey, where's Bill at today? I don't know. He didn't leave happy on Friday. I don't know. I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. I'm just telling you the way I saw him on Friday. Hey, did you know that? I mean, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying I heard. From who? Heard it from yourself. Because, again, not under the lordship of Christ, we're all prone to think evil of each other. That's why without even trying, just by default, we'll think the worst of someone versus the better. Just by default. Well, I don't know. They said they were coming. I should have known they were lying when they told me. Wait. Have you even texted them to see what? Just out of your mouth. Have you even extended? What's going on? I just want to check. Are you all right? Is everything okay? But without that, we just prone to think in the church. We ought to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. Instead of doubting them for our own, give them the benefit. If they're not here, assume they got a good reason for not being here. Assume they wanted to come, but were some way hindered or prevented. That'll cause you to reach out to them. But if you think evil of them, you won't call. You won't check in. You're going about your business. I'm down the road. Do you follow what I'm saying? He wrote this in the context of the church. I got to keep going. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Real members of the body of Christ do not rejoice when others fall into sin. Real Christians don't say, I told you so. Real believers don't get together after church and say, I told you. I told you that the day she joined. I could tell by looking at her. I'm not surprised to see him in here. I'm not surprised to have him come in smelling like that. The first Sunday he came, he smelled that way. Don't gloat. Don't rejoice. And listen, you know. Here's the temptation we gotta resist. Do you know why we do it? Oftentimes, we do it because we're ashamed of our own sin. And the way we medicate ourselves is by belittling someone else in their sin. It serves as Tylenol to us. And instead of medicating ourselves through prayer, fasting, and the Word of God, the enemy tricks us and says, use this, Cain. Why are you angry at Abel? If you got a beef, take it out with God. But it's easier. I can medicate this pain if I take it out on Abel. If I belittle him, if I kill him, I'll feel better. Never realizing you feel worse because now you got to live with a guilty conscience. Because no one encouraged you, you resist the invitation to be an encourager. Because no one ever helped you. No one ever did for you. You pay it forward by never doing for anyone else. In direct opposition to the Word of God. Church members do that, but not members of the body of Christ. Folks connected to the body of Christ, they don't rejoice in iniquity. My Bible says it like this: love covers. It doesn't pull it off and say, hey, look. Look what they did. Look what they, isn't that what they did? Jesus, look, she was caught in it. He said, you got to be kidding me. And you guys have the law. I can understand the Gentiles. They're godless. They have no agape love. But you guys have the law. And this is what you do. All because you're a member of the church and not the body. A member of the body would cover just what Jesus did. Where are you accused? I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. Are you reading this? This is not about your marriage. This is about your conduct in the body. Rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, holds all things. Love never fails. People should always be able to come back to the church. The body always keeps the door open. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, no matter how far they've strayed, love never fails. So you have it. Let me finish. Ephesians 4 and 11. Let's get you out of here. I can hear your stomachs growling from here. Let me get out of here. For y'all stone me. Hey, they were going to stone that woman. Y'all about to stone me. Ephesians 4 and 11. You guys know this. But if you want to be a functioning member, you've got to commit to this. You have it, Ephesians 4 and 11. Some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. The administration of the apostles have ended with the apostles. The prophets have ended. There are some evangelists today. And some pastors, teachers. Let me just work this out real quick. The role of a real evangelist, a true evangelist, they come into an area and preach the gospel. And they call men and women to repentance. That's what a real evangelist does. And do you know what he does in the morning? He leaves. That's what an evangelist does. They come into the city. They preach and call for repentance, and when the week is over, they leave. It is when they leave or in partnership with their ministry that then the pastor teacher takes over. Because now that you're saved, you got to get what? Connected to what? You got to get connected to a local church, to a body. And now come under the preaching and teaching of a local pastor slash teacher. Because now you got to learn to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's the only difference. An evangelist goes, he travels wherever the Lord sends him. And when he preaches, he calls men and women to repentance. That's what he does. What he or she does. And before they leave, they ought to connect you to a church or some churches in that area. What did the man in the tomb of Gadarenes, if you remember the story and you follow it to the end, what did Christ forbid him? He couldn't follow. He begged Jesus. You know what he begged Jesus? To be a part of his church. Jesus said, you can't go with me. Your job is to stay here and save other people who are in the tombs. He said, I came to you as an evangelist. I preached and I called you. I cast out the demons so that you could have a moment of clarity, a moment of clear thinking, so that you could hear and receive the gospel. And now that you've got it, you got to connect to a local church here in the tombs. Here in the 10 cities of the capital. Jesus went on to Galilee, but he didn't let him go. Do you understand the concept? His work was to stay there. Do you follow what I'm saying? Jesus came into that tomb, into that man's life as an evangelist. But when he left, he had to come under somebody else's teaching, somebody else's tutelage. Someone had to now show him how to live free from demonic possession, now that Jesus had cast them out. Do you follow what I'm saying? So that, there you go, enough. Either you got it or you don't. I'm not going to kill myself. Here it is. All of those, no matter when those offices were functioning, both in the past and even in the present, they're for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Whatever it is, apostles, prophets, evangelists, preacher, teacher, whatever the gift, whatever the office, they are to serve to equip you to do the work. That's why I said, as being a church member, you got to attend. Then ultimately, you got to start participating. And the reason why I want to get you guys signed up for this class, because then ultimately, you got to start leading. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because you got to get out and do the work of the ministry. My job is to build you up, encourage you, put resources in your hand, put word in your heart, put prayer in your spirit, so that what? You can get up and go. Woe be unto me if I don't prepare you. Shame on me if I don't instruct you in the proper manner. He's going to judge me for that. But if I discharge my duty properly and you fall short, he's going to judge you for that. Do you follow what I'm saying? You got to do the work of the ministry for the equipping of the saints, for the edifying of the body. And this is all these gifts you were talking about. They build up the body. I got to keep going. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. And we got to keep doing it until we all grow up. Till we all become so submitted to the Lordship of Christ, where the church ceases to be about us and becomes about him. All that stuff I just read, that's what it is. The fullness, the stature, the knowledge. When people can come into our space, our community, and not see us, not see male, female, black, white, young, old, but only see Christ. All of the gifts got to keep working until this happens. You follow what I'm saying? And here it is, verse 14, I'm finished. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, trickery of men, cunning craft, and deceitful plot, but speaking the truth in love, 1 Corinthians 13, the love of gain. Again, not the love in your marriage. This is the love you have in the body of Christ. And if you get it working in the body, guess what you can do with it? You can transport it to your marriage. But if you try to do this in the context of your marriage, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get frustrated. You're going to become hateful, disillusioned, and you're going to bring that spirit into the church. All because you didn't follow instructions. He never told you to take this home. He told you to work this out in the church. Then take that home. I haven't married a single couple yet. Oh, what's that? What's that thing from 1 Colossians? Everybody wants to read the love chapter at their wedding. All because they never had a pastor. Just read the letter. He's not talking about your marriage. He's talking about his body. And if you can get it working well in the body with hundreds of people you don't like, how much easier will it be able to work in your house where you only got one person you don't like? I'm finished. I quit. You got any questions? Questions, comments, thoughts, words, anything? It's all about being a functioning member. This is where we